Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Red Eyes Radio. I'm Henrik, and we are always glad that you want to spend some of your time with us, wherever you might be. On our websites, redeyescreations.com and redeyesradio.net, you can hear, see, and read more. Well, today we have a special show for you. We have Lana with us from Radio 314 to talk about Lana's Llama, her online organic clothing store that has just opened its doors. We are going to speak with her about toxic clothing versus non-toxic clothing and why it's important for you to know this stuff, whether or not you're actually aware of it yet. If you care about your health, you should definitely stick around. Some really important information is coming up. But also, if you want to know more about the fraudulent green movement, which has been plaguing us in recent years. You know, all of this is for show, basically, and it's tied into the fashion industry with all their pretentious events about global warming and the environment. You know, if this massive industry, together with the textile industry, was serious about it, they would do the kind of work that Lana has done and actually tell you the truth about it, but they don't. So stay tuned to get the scoop. Well, hi, Lana. Welcome, and thank you so much for taking the time to speaking with us. I know from firsthand how busy you are, so I really appreciate it.
Yes, you do. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, you had me on Radio 314 in September of 2012. You know, the good old innocent days of, like, I don't know, some kind of semi-metaphysical stuff and some kind of anarcho-capitalism, some interesting combos there. But you should be mad with the fact that it took me 3 years to reciprocate and have you on my radio.
It's okay. We'll let it slide.
Well, you know, it's funny because Frederick and I, my brother, for those who don't know, who handles the audio engineering and all that, we were on this show many years ago. And in the good old days of talking about what a fraud Al Gore was and the Church of Global Warming. And, you know, he invited us to his show, and we didn't kind of reciprocate that and have him on our show kind of right away. I think about a year later, maybe even two, I forget exactly how long it was, you know, we invited him back or whatever. So he told us to go F ourselves after that.
Really?
So I hope you're not as mad as he was.
Of course not.
All right, enough of that, enough laughs. We're actually here today to address some very important stuff here, some important topic. It might not at first seem as this is an important topic, but you've been talking about this on 314 for a few years now, actually, and you decided finally to do something about it yourself, which is really the way to go. If you want to have it done right, you should do it yourself, basically. So we're talking about organic clothing. We have a lot of important things to go over today when it comes to the decision to do something as elaborate as starting your own organic clothing line. So just tell us why you wanted to do it.
Well, as you know, I've been sensitive to chemicals for a long time, and I woke up to the need to eat organic and to clean out all the toxic products. But my closet was actually the last area that I thought to look at. But come to think of it, when I was wearing certain fabrics, I would get rashes. It would be itchy. It wouldn't feel good. So I started actually investigating, and I learned that there's over 8,000 carcinogenic chemicals used to make the clothing that we wear. So this is absolutely insane. So then I decided, okay, I'll replace the clothes in my closet. And I started looking around, and I saw how few organic clothing companies there were. And a lot of times they just offer T-shirts and yoga pants. I know that's changing. But another alternative is just to wear natural fibers. But then, of course, the dyes are still toxic. They can use finishing chemicals on there. The fibers aren't grown organically, so that's another issue with all the pesticides. So when I did go look for natural fiber clothing, and it's mostly in high-end stores, and it costs actually a lot of money, and it's still blended with synthetics, so I thought, I can do this myself.
Well, it's quite a leap to do. Is it? We can get into this later, but it's been quite difficult, right, to pull this off?
Yeah, I was actually kind of disappointed. I was thinking in America it was just going to be lots of good factories and I'd have tons of people to choose from. The hardest part of, I would say, making clothing is finding somebody to make it, finding a factory that you have a good relationship with. And we've had lots of challenges, and I know we'll probably get into some of those later. But I have, after some crash and burns, I actually have found a couple good factories, but it takes a lot of time to cultivate those relationships. So now I know why a lot of these clothing labels are really quiet about who makes their clothes.
All right. Well, tell us first, why does, I mean, let's say we have someone listening who's like, you know, what the fuck? You know, organic clothes, who cares, right? Well, why is this even important?
Yeah, I know. People always think that. Of all the things to worry about, why clothes?
Yeah.
Well, you need to know that as I said, there's 8,000 toxic chemicals used. And a lot of these chemicals, they're being absorbed into your body, they're in the environment, they're floating around. If this continues, your children are going to be infertile. You're going to get cancer, people are going to get sick, our food is going to be tainted. So really, fashion is in the top three polluters. You guys have no idea the amount of petrochemicals and just toxic, dirty chemicals that are used. So we need to just not support that and do another alternative, because this will come back to us and will make us infertile, and eventually we won't be able to have children.
Is it that bad, really?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I mean, synthetics is, what is it, about 70% of the clothing that's made is made of synthetic fibers.
Right.
That all originates from petrochemicals that are highly toxic. Guys that work with this stuff in these labs making these, you know, products, they're getting cancer left and right. Also, the important thing to remember is that we have a toxic load that we already carry with so many other things. So if you burden your body, it's going to trigger disease. And so clothing is something that really contributes. We all wear clothing every day. Most of us are wearing synthetics. So we need to limit the daily exposure to toxins, and that's why clothing is a big aspect.
Mm-hmm. Of that. Right. So tell us what natural fibers are, and if these are in some way scarce, if everybody would want to go with these as opposed to synthetics.
Okay, well, natural fibers are basically fibers made from plant and animal fibers. So they're biodegradable, they're renewable, they're sustainable, they're non-toxic to humans and wildlife. It's not going to create an adverse physical reaction to you, especially if you wear organics. So when you wear natural fibers in your body, you can breathe, you allow for your body to detox through your skin, because that's a huge one. When you wear synthetics, you can't breathe the same. You're not going to have the hot flashes, the static cling, which actually contributes to infertility. I don't know if you guys know that, but, and also
right.
There's an odor that's created when you wear synthetics. So letting your body just breathe all that stuff out.
Super nice.
You're not going to stink, right? Yeah. But that's true. It's one excuse I always hear, that there's not enough to go around, so we need synthetic fibers. That's bullshit. We can grow everything we need. The fact is that we now are in this cycle of just mass consumption and waste and overproduction of cheap disposable goods. It's absolute baloney. We can grow everything that we need sustainably, so, and that's why, another reason why I want to support organics, because it's slow fashion. Not quick fashion. Slow fashion means you wait, you know, it's a season, you wait for it to grow. You know, it's more of a special experience all around. It's quality, not quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That's what we need to get back to, because this cycle that we're heading to is just disastrous.
Well, it used to be, as you know, we had, at least in Europe for many centuries, we had clothing which was in some cases passed down, or you wore it larger parts of your life, and it was durable. It was really well made. It was hand sewn for you in some cases, so the fit was probably really nice. And that was the way to go. And we don't do that today.
No, Europeans are better about that. Well, now you've got the H&M's coming in, but Italy, for instance,
all China made.
Oh yeah, H&M. I mean, Italy is like that. They used to have that fine wool coat or that wool suit or those leather shoes, and they just had few items, but what they had was just classic designer stuff that lasted for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell us what synthetic fibers are and how they are made.
Well, basically, it's guys in a lab, they're taking chemicals, they're binding them together to form molecules, they're forcing them together, and it comes entirely from petrochemicals. There's nothing natural about it, and the chemicals that are used to make these chains or fabric in the end is highly toxic stuff.
That's kind of weird. Like, how do they, I know you've looked into some of that, of how they do that. They take these plastic little granular pieces and melt them basically, right? And push them through all these different machines and spin them out as just, it would be regular thread, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then in the end, the results you get is you get, examples are like spandex, nylon, polyester, polyurethane, acrylic. And I don't know if you've worn any of these, but they're very uncomfortable and kind of itchy and scratchy.
Yeah, I've noticed the difference, obviously, now when I know a little bit more. And it's a huge, huge difference, actually. They're not as smooth as the others are. And I know that they're changing. It's been updated, all this stuff, obviously. Polyester isn't today what it is in the 70s or 80s or whatever, but it's still... You can still feel it, and obviously the main impact is that this is bad for you, and your body notices this, you know?
Exactly. It's true. They've gotten better at mimicking nature. They're coming really close, but you can tell the difference from natural fiber with the synthetics.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to say that I did an interview with a couple declamants called The Killer Clothes, and we actually talked about how numerous medical studies have pointed out the impacts of those who wear synthetics, ranging from respiratory problems to high blood pressure. You get fungal infections, even asthma, hormone disruption, blurred vision, headaches. I mean, this is serious stuff. It's nothing to scoff at. What's happening is a toxic soup is happening. So you're already using all this stuff in the morning to get ready, putting all this stuff on your body, shampooing yourself, and then you put these clothes on top of it. So we're creating what's called the toxic soup. And then when you sweat, you're absorbing all this stuff. Your skin is the largest organ on your body. So it's all going straight in there. Actually, and one study I should share was done on children's clothing where they found high levels of flame retardants on the kids' clothes. So then they went ahead and tested their urine and found that there are high levels of flame retardants in their urine. I mean, this is insanity, people.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, it's because, you know, synthetics can light on fire and stuff. Exactly. So just don't wear them. Just wear natural fibers. They're not going to explode when you take a match to it. That's actually why the Army now, they only allow them, or they have, I think, probably since the beginning, only wear natural fibers, because if they're wearing a polyester shirt and they're exposed to fire, they'll explode.
Well, some of them, I know, were developed for the Army because they wanted synthetic options in some cases. So the whole field of petrochemicals as textiles comes out of that. But now they've backed off because they know how bad it is. I mean, wasn't that story out of Norway, the underwear or something?
Yeah, they're using organic underwear now. But, of course, they just talk about the environmental impact, not about, hey, it's good for, you know, your sperm count, for instance.
Right.
But, yeah, exactly. The origins of synthetics comes from World War II, actually, because what happened was we were getting our silk. America was getting their silk from Japan. They wanted to cut them off. So, you know, they decided, let's invent something. They invented nylon and they replaced all their silk parachutes.
DuPont.
So the origins of synthetics comes from the war industry. So it comes from a really nasty background here. And then DuPont's like, hey, we've got all this extra stuff. Let's market some nylons to some women.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
in the beginning, the women were freaked out. I mean, they had silk nylons that can never compare to nylon. You know, they were calling them cancer hose way back then because they actually had an idea that this is something spooky. It doesn't belong on your body. But then you saw the footage I showed you. They created this scarcity around the nylons, and there was nylon riots, and women were attacking each other to buy these nylons. I mean, it's absolute insanity how they marketed this to women, that nylon was better than silk.
Is in that Bernays era, you know, kind of thing, to hype it up. But just tell us a bit what these does to a young, let's say, young boy then specifically. I mean, I know this has a large effect of women too, because of the estrogen mimicking, you know, chemicals and all that stuff. But I think that what seems to be the most dangerous is for when a fetus is developing in the womb. That's really where this is like a big no-no.
Well, exactly. I mean, everything that's happening in the womb, sexual differentiation, your sexual brain, your sexual organs, all that happens from hormonal processes in the womb. So when the mother is exposed to estrogen-mimicking chemicals, it's actually affecting the fetus. They used to think for a long time, oh, nothing absorbs in there. Now we know that it absorbs everything in there. It's very highly sensitive. And so it's actually interfering with the process. So boys are more at risk because we're dealing with estrogen mimickers. So that's blocking the testosterone surges that boys need to be really manly boys. So there's a feminizing process happening. Boys are even being born with smaller penises. And I would even argue more of the gay and bisexual and confusion is also coming from, there's a chemical element that comes into play.
Certainly. I mean, this is out of proportion what we've ever had before. And something, I mean, the first thing a doctor does is basically, if you have an ailment, they ask you, well, if they're a good doctor, holistic doctor, it's like, what have you changed in your environment? Are you eating something differently? Are you, you know, in a different environment, basically? And so that's the obvious thing we have to ask ourselves. It's not only the clothing, but it's a big part of it. And together with all the other things that you mentioned, that this adds up, it accumulates, and eventually you get, I mean, these are disastrous consequences. We're talking about no reproduction, basically.
Well, and we see the gender-bending effects already in animals. I know I've showed you a lot of this material. There was this epidemic called gay seagulls who were exposed to a lot of these, or lesbian seagulls, they call them. They were confused. They didn't know who to mate with. They had been exposed to all this plastic and BPA, and they had found high levels of it in their system. You have polar bears. I don't know how they're being exposed. A study was up in Norway where the polar bears were actually also experiencing like a penis shrinkage, so it was making mating difficult, and there was also sexual confusion going on there. You have fish being born that are intersex.
Yep.
A lot of mating confusion going on, and it's because a lot of these chemicals are dumping into the water stream. So now our animals, our wildlife is being exposed, and we're dumping all this stuff on it.
It's horrendous. Yep. And of course, then you have all the, well, I'll ask you about that later, but basically the rule should be then basically what you put on your skin is something you technically should be able to also eat, absorb,
yep.
right? Because otherwise your skin is, as you said, the largest organ. It soaks up everything. Not that you want to eat your, you know, organic cotton shirt, but, but technically, you know, you could do that because it's not toxic in that way, right?
Yeah. So. And that's what's so funny about the cancer industry. Not once, like all these designers who throw these huge galas for cancer research, blah, 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 global warming, not once have they addressed the impact of the chemicals they're using and what that's doing, how it's creating cancer, how it's hurting the environment. So they're a bunch of frauds.
Absolutely. Double standards and nonsense in there. Now, tell us about the what's known as the finishing chemicals.
Yeah, this is completely stupid and ridiculous. We've become absolutely lazy. So now we have chemicals used to make, you know, moth-proof, make your clothes wrinkle-free so you don't have to iron anymore, odor-free and stain-free so, you know, you don't have to wash your clothes often anymore either. And, of course, we spray all these flame retardants. There's just so many combos now. It's just complete out of laziness and stupidity, and all of these are cancer-causing agents that they're using if you investigate into it. And if I've actually told people, oh, you know, people interested in buying some clothing with these finishes, well, I don't have to iron my shirt anymore, and you tell them, well, it'll give you cancer, but I don't have to iron my shirt anymore.
So convenient, you know? So excellent.
I mean, that's how mind control people are. They just think all this stuff is safe, and you wonder why we have high levels of cancer.
It's epidemic. It's out of proportion. Completely. Yeah, people really need to think about this stuff, you know, in terms of how little these other organizations look after us in this department. I mean, it's not like this is some, you know, huge kind of weird conspiracy, really. All the studies that you're talking about and referring to, they have been done. They are there. It's out there. They're from, you know, I know Swedish studies on the male versus female brain and how these chemicals affect have been done, etc. These are, it's all out there and it's all known. It's just that the dots is not connected and no one is actually referring to these, right?
Yeah, because it's not politically correct. See, if we look into the biology, I did a good show with Claire Randall, everyone should hear about, actually the biology of sexuality, you know, and sexual dysphoria, and people need to go listen to that because there is a biological aspect. We used to understand this, but now we're not talking about it because it's not politically correct anymore. Science is politically incorrect now.
Yep, absolutely horrible. Tell us, for those who don't know then, when we're talking about these natural fibers or organic fabrics, you have the animal versus plant and all that, but what are those and what are you using in your clothes?
Sure. First, I want to say, people always ask, what is organic fabric? I want to go through those lines for you because a lot of people think it's just made up. No. There's a lot of logic and wisdom here, but I want to say that organic natural fibers is nothing revolutionary and new. This is ancient. This is something that all our ancestors wore. What's revolutionary and new is wearing petrochemical fabrics on your body. I understand they can have uses in certain places, but they definitely don't belong on your body. So for plant and animal fiber to be organic, it's much like food. So it has to be grown without the use of toxic and persistent pesticides, any synthetic fertilizers, no GMOs is allowed, which is good. And then it has to be grown using methods and materials that have a low impact on the environment. So organic production systems, they're replenishing and maintaining the soil fertility, and they're building biologically diverse agriculture.
Right.
But in order for animal fibers to be organic, and this is really good, this is why organic wool is something really special, and alpaca, they also must be produced in accordance with the federal standards, same as the organic livestock production for food. So the livestock feed and forage must be certified organic. They're not given any synthetic hormones or antibiotics, no GMOs. I mean, these are happy animals here. They're liking this.
All,
you know?
All of that goes, does that go out into the actual fiber of the animal?
Yes, absolutely, and it makes a difference. Also, the organic animal welfare standards addresses areas like their feed rations, their housing, their pasture conditions, they're not crowded, they have to roam. So these are happy animals. So the end result, the fiber that you're getting is absolutely high quality. And I believe that the energy goes into the hair. Of course it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's how we should be doing everything, really. There's nothing revolutionary about it. But once the fiber is sheared or harvested, it then has to be turned into fabric. So according to organic fabric standards, many are now following the GOTS standard, which is basically various Western countries have got together and said, hey, let's come up with a good guideline for everyone to adhere to what is organic fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really strict, actually.
Right.
So I can quickly run through some of the big points. So in order for organic fiber to become organic fabric, one, through all the stages of the processing, the fiber products must be separated from the non-organic fibers, right? So you know where, what's what. And then the knitting and weaving oils must not contain any heavy metals. You can't use any toxic heavy metals, formaldehyde, aromatic solvents, no nanoparticles, no GMOs. I mean, it's a long list of the chemicals that you can't use.
That means that all these other the normal regular textile, whatever, they use that kind of stuff
in
there.
Oh, yeah, they're using all that stuff. That's why you really want organic fabric. Also, the synthetic sizing agents are restricted because I don't know if people know this, but a lot of this cotton, they put all these chemicals on it so that it doesn't shrink. Instead of just washing it and just pre-shrinking it, which we'll be doing with all our things. Also, the bleaches must be based on oxygen, so no chlorine. And then the dyes can't release any carcinogenic compounds. They're absolutely prohibited. And also, there's discharge printing methods that are using aromatic solvents, phthalates, and PVC. All of that is prohibited. Also, the operators, the people making this, are also really being regulated. So they're checking out what's happening with their waste. Where are they putting everything? How much stuff are they using? Where's the wastewater going? How are they disposing these things? Because there's actually, it's pretty lax in some of the regulations. I was shocked because I thought, oh, America, they really regulate certain things. But there's certain areas with clothing production that are just completely unregulated. It's like
really?
China. It's like China. They don't regulate anything. That's why they have villages where people all have cancer there now because these companies are just throwing stuff into the river, you know? So I just want to convey that it's an extensive process for organic fiber standards and organic fabric. It's not something that's made up just bullshit or some marketing gimmick. There's a lot of logic behind it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that the important point to take away there is that, you know, they call, it's true for medicine, but other, you know, other industries or you know, fields as well, they say whatever we have today, that's the orthodox way. That's the way it was like, that's the standardized, but it's like, that's the newcomer on the block. It's like everything else that you're talking about, which is now deemed organic, is basically how we did it before, you know, more or less before the First World War, I'd say, maybe even second in some cases. So it's not like invented out of the blue or something that's the new kid on the block. It's the opposite. This is like accepted methods that we have done it, our ancestor, for many, many hundreds, if not even thousands of years.
Absolutely. So some people that scoff at it, I'm like, why are you scoffing at it? Have you actually read the guidelines? Have you actually looked at what is USDA organic? Because if any intelligent person does, they say, of course, this is how we should be doing everything because our future depends upon it.
So do you want to run through like which are which and also what you use? There's so many different of these natural fibers.
For this first line, I'm using hemp, I'm using cotton, I'm using silk, I'm using wool. I think that's pretty much what I'm sticking to, this first line out.
Right. And you have it listed on your site too, obviously, it's more than those that you use, but you have many of them listed on your website where people can go, right?
That's right. I have a fabric guide with icons and details, you know, what natural fibers are what.
So what about, have people asked you about, you know, animal cruelty or whatever about these?
Yeah, I get this question a lot, and it really bugs me because, you know, Greenpeace and people like that, they claim to see the toxicity of fashion, but they're not really going after chemicals, but not after synthetics. So I'm not opposed to using animal fibers. This is the most natural, earthy, ancient way to dress. The animals are not killed. They're actually sheared for their fiber. Sure, some of them are probably eaten later. I don't know. But like I said, the organic animal standards are very strict. So these animals are being treated really well. Natural animal fibers are more expensive, so they're harder to get than synthetic. So they're really not being mass produced in the same way. It's not like, I haven't seen anything yet of like how chickens are being crowded, the non-organic chickens.
Mm-hmm,
I haven't seen
right.
anything like that for like alpaca farming or, you know, lamb. I haven't seen any of that.
Right.
I'm sure there's some agribusinesses out there that are just awful, but I try and ask questions and be conscious of the sources. That's another reason why I'm doing organic. People that are in the organic scene are ideologically in a completely different place, you know?
Right, yeah.
The fact is that PETA and other fake greens, what they won't tell you is that synthetics in the environment are massively contributing to the harm of animals and wildlife. Actually, it's plastic particles from synthetic fibers that is the biggest pollutant in the oceans right now that's
yep.
affecting animals. They're absorbing all this stuff. And all the chemicals, of course, used to make the synthetic fabrics are massively harming our wildlife,
mm-hmm.
as we got into earlier.
Yep.
And here's the other thing. A lot of those chemicals that are being used, hate to break it to you, but they're probably being tested on animals. That's another big thing. PETA is just stupid and doesn't see and doesn't
understand.
Well, of
course, they're like SJWs. They just fit into the establishment, you know, trying to be – we know all that stuff. Actually, in the second hour, I want to ask you more about also the origins of environmentalism. We'll save that, but it's quite interesting. It's also not what people expect that it is, which is quite interesting. But okay, so tell us then, why does it, if these ancient ways of doing it is really the easiest way, why does it cost more?
Yeah, this is always a question I get, and the first thing I want to tell you is government subsidies. Okay.
Natural, right. Yeah.
Government subsidies is just it's basically a welfare system for non-organic fibers. And if you eat or wear organic, you should be outraged because your tax dollars are going to support these non-organic businesses. So, you know, Walmart can buy up a bunch of cotton from some, you know, government subsidized farm or whatever and make it super cheap. So that's the big one. Okay. Also, the cost to get the organic certifications, there's fees or inspections. There's also converting the land over, which is actually a 3-year process. So that takes a long time. The farmer actually loses a lot of income during that time. There's the feed for the animals, of course. And then in the organics market, production costs are typically higher because it's alternative production practices. Like I said, it's slower, it's more thought out, there's more precautions behind it, so it just takes longer. It's called slower fashion. So compare like a mellow organic farmer to like a monster truck rally driver. That's how I would compare, you know, organic
mm-hmm.
versus non-organic.
Right.
And also the organic scene is mostly just small mom and pop shops, so all we can do is the low minimums. And with the cost to make fabric and sewing, when you're doing small lots, the cost is much higher. And then, of course, most of the stuff is made in the USA. A lot of the organic scene, it's a Western thing, you know. It's in America, it's in Europe, and everyone's trying to make it there. There's a lot behind it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to go make our stuff in China, and with that, there's more costs. But it's an ideological battle as well. I mean, we're not using, like H&M. They're using a bunch of cheap labor in China. That's not what we're doing.
Of course, yeah. That was a Swedish company. That's what they do. They sell out their own people and just walk away, no allegiance whatsoever. But
you're supporting small scale farmers. So when you're supporting organic, yes, the cost's a little more, but you're supporting the good guys, people that are around that want to bring you the good alternative, and their heart is in it for the right reasons. No one in the organic scene is making as much money as H&M or any of these other places, and most of us are pricing it as fairly as possible without it being a nonprofit organization, you know. But it's like even for me, my most expensive piece is $275. You guys. That's like nothing. Go to bluefly.com, Nordstrom's, Cachet, any of those places. Dresses that are made with polyester are going easy $350, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I used organic suiting wool. Good luck finding this. If you find it, it's in Italy for $60 a yard, $60
wow.
a yard.
Jeez.
I lined it in organic cotton. Nobody lines with organic cotton or natural fibers anymore. Just they don't do it. It's trimmed with silk, and it's made with a Riri zipper made in Switzerland. I mean, this is like a top of the line, is the nicest thing that I could possibly make, and I'm pricing
nice.
It extremely fairly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's really nice. We'll talk more about what you, of course, have in the store later, but is there anything you want to say about, kind of the designers and all that stuff? Some more. We talked a little bit about, of course, they don't really care about the environment. All these, you know, cancer galas and AIDS and all that nonsense. It's just for show. It's for like signaling and showing what good companies they are, but they really don't care.
Well, I don't like a lot of their politics. They're full of bull. They're full of ego. They don't care about your health. They actually don't care about the environment. So for me, I don't want to support these people. that's another big reason why I wanted to do it myself, because now you're talking about just big conglomerates. Eventually, if you don't support the little guys, it's just going to be a bunch of, just going to be like, what, three big chains that you can choose from?
Yep.
And we need to stop that. So we need to not support. I mean, this is really a war with your dollars at one point in time here.
There's some real weirdos in this. I don't know that much about them, but a few here and there I've looked into. It's like real weird, creepy people that are like designers and stuff, you know, full of themselves and just kind of strange behavior, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of weirdos in crypto.
I'm glad you're not like that.
No, I'm not. And actually, the whole scene I just despise. You know, that's been the one hard thing for me, like trying to deal with some of these people and get in there. But once I got in the organic scene, it's more laid back. It's not as uptight and stuck up, so that's good.
Yeah, maybe a little bit too hippie there, but, you know.
Yeah, too hippie.
So
we
why
talk
not somewhere in between,
later.
You know? We'll talk about that later. But so, okay, is there anything else we want to mention about the environmental impacts?
I want to say that synthetics actually require more energy to make for people that care about, like, global warming, whether you want to, we can debate that one all day long. But for people that actually think that's real, synthetics require more energy, more chemicals. They pollute the water and air like crazy. As I said, you know, it's not biodegradable. The stuff's leaching into the soil. It's taking up room in the landfills. And natural fibers actually take less energy to make. They don't require chemicals. They won't pollute our wildlife. And they're beautiful to grow. And you're also supporting small-scale farmers. So all around, it's a more gentle process.
Very good. Now, what have you, isn't there like that some organics brands, they still have, not everything on the item is organic. I think what you've done is like you've actually focused on every piece that goes into making the whole item to be natural or organic. Tell us about that.
That's right. Well, there's plenty of companies I've looked up, underwear especially, but lots of other organic companies. They still blend their clothes with synthetics. So you have 50% organic cotton blended with polyester, recycled polyester, and I can slam that with you later because I hate recycled polyester. People are trying to tout this as a green thing, which is total BS.
Right.
So they're still blending with synthetics, and it just drives me mad because you're ruining a perfectly good fabric there by blending it out with some petrochemical.
So what about, like, the labels and the buttons and, you know, all those kinds of things that's on the people might not think about.
Exactly, usually. Exactly. You've got buttons, and for us, we're using natural materials. So that could be like wood, bone, shell, nut. I am using some metals. Also, the labels, even the labels I have are organic cotton. I mean, this is specialty stuff here. And then the trims, the linings, everything that I could possibly do, natural fiber and organic, I do. One area that's been difficult is zippers. You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of funny. We could put a man on the moon, but we can't make, you know, organic natural fiber zippers. But that's something, an area that I'd like to.
Aren't those metal or nickel or something?
Yeah, they're metal, but it's the tape around it.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
That's usually polyester. So.
Right, right.
So we anywhere that we can, we do. And like I said, even our labels that I stick on the packages are BPA-free.
That's right. That's really good as well, because that means, and it's not only for those who handle it, including you and the customer, but it also about the fact that you don't want to have that dumped in the water supply and just exacerbating this problem that we're into right now. So that's
right,
really good.
These BPA labels are actually what's contaminating all this recycled paper. So recycled paper is just full of BPA. So you don't want to be using mm-hmm. any recycled paper, actually.
No,
it's fully
no.
contaminated.
Wait, what do they call it? Downscaling?
Downcycling.
Downcycling, that's right. Yeah. So the buttons, though, is pretty cool. So those are like nuts and like wood and shell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty nice. I like that. Instead of because I bet you, like, majority probably use plastic these days.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, plastic. So you can go buy a designer shirt, a men's shirt, and spend, you know, $150 for your dress shirt, but it has plastic buttons on it.
Yeah. And again, it's all, you know, it might seem small, but it's accumulative. All the little things you touch every day and handle, that basically contributes to a rise in estrogen, you know?
That's right. And also, it's about taking up space in the landfill. This stuff isn't biodegradable. You know, plastic bags take 200 years. Your polyester shirt takes like 200 years.
Oh, my God.
So it's going to be around a lot longer than you are.
God, those ugly shirts. Wish they would just go away.
Nightmare.
So what about underwear and and bras and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I started researching into this. I want to say I'm working on an organic underwear line. I've got all the prototypes now. I'm almost ready to go into production, so I'm very excited about that. But I started researching a lot of these underwear companies, and they're still using spandex with their organic cotton, which is driving me nuts. So I've been working on a fabric that's 100% organic cotton that's stretchy enough, because it's about the stretch. That's what people want, and that's the difficult part here. But Victoria's Secret actually has high levels of formaldehyde in their bras and in their panties. So do not wear Victoria's Secret. I mean, just throw it out.
It's so sexy.
Well, and I, you know what? And I want to get to you. I have big plans, but I want to do a sexy lingerie line that's organic.
Isn't that typical, though, like selling that to, like, well, I'm not saying that everyone who buys these are pretty or whatever, but it's kind of like it's typical, right? To, like, the infertility aspect and selling that to, like, you know, as a sexy item to, like, pretty
right.
women.
It's like,
horrible.
Well, if she wears that, she might get breast cancer or she might get a yeast infection for those polyester panties. Real sexy stuff here.
Wow. Yeah,
so
no,
and I have
to go with that company.
I have to
yeah.
tell you, there's a study from 1993. there was a test on three groups of male dogs. I don't know if it's because no humans wanted to do this, but they wanted to see the effects of loosely fitted polyester underwear versus cotton underwear on their sperm counts over time. And after 24 months,
these dogs actually wear.
Yeah, they actually wore them.
Nice.
After 24 months, the study found that dogs that wore polyester panties had significant decreases in sperm counts and had more abnormal sperm.
Ooh.
Okay? So this is serious business here. It is fertility. Fertility. I mean, so if you're going to do one thing that's organic, if that's the only thing that you can do, make it be your underwear.
So, you know, a lot of companies that begin doing organic, they do... Well, actually, there aren't that many that does underwear out there, apparently.
Not too many.
But... Point is you're going to do that later. You didn't do that for the first line. You have you didn't do T-shirts or, like, you know, yoga pants or whatever because you wanted to do something different, which I think is pretty cool. But point is you're going to get there. You're basically just waiting to get the designs done, and then you'll be able to sell T-shirts and underwear and all these kinds of things that people might be more in the immediate, you know, which is underwear is obviously one of the most important things. Like if you buy one item which is organic, it should be underwear, right?
Yeah, I wanted the first line to be more special because I know pretty much every organic store out there and every label out there, and there's a lot of basics already out there. So I wanted to do something a little more special, something that women can wear to work, or guys can wear to work, you know, nice dress shirt or something. And also it'll be good for press reasons to get out there for the first line, whatnot. But I've got lots of designs in the works and prototypes already done of, you know, T-shirts, tanks, underwear, more casual stuff. So I am going to get to all of that for sure.
All right. Very good. Okay. So what about hemp then? Obviously, this has been a huge question in the U.S. and in other countries. I know, I think Germany, as many things actually, are spearheading this to really try to get hemp as a natural fiber on the scene. But there seems to be a reluctancy to get to this for some reason.
Yeah, I think it really is the cotton lobby. Because hemp can be grown with hardly any water. It requires no pesticides. It grows like crazy on its own. It could be used for everything. So I think the cotton and the pesticide lobby has been working hard to block this powerhouse fiber that can be used for a lot. But now we're starting to see some action. Colorado, they're encouraging people now to be able to farm industrial hemp. And it's like, you can't get high from industrial
right.
hemp. It's a different
sure.
it's a different plant, so it's just completely ridiculous. But right now, of course, parts of Europe and China are doing it. But I think that we're going to start seeing more hemp coming into action here. But it's ridiculous how it's been blocked from growing in America.
Well, it kind of makes sense a little bit. this is what they do when they monopolize one area and basically kill any other competition. So it's very well-established. I mean, I think the textile industry overall is like one of the most powerful profitable industries in the world, I believe.
It's
right?
in the top three, yeah.
Yeah, so that explains that. Is there anything else we should say about these kind of dyes and stuff like that?
I'm using low-impact dye. I have some items where I'll be using herbal dye. Of course, herbal dye would be the best, but you have to do it in foreign countries like India and China. I saw one company in America offering it. It's completely based on plants and herbs, but it's incredibly expensive. There's just no way that I could afford that. You know, most people couldn't afford
it. It's too bad.
It's a real highly special thing. But I have connected with one company in India that did some fabric for me. And the colors, it's almost there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more challenging. But now you have what's called a green chemist movement that's been happening in America. And these guys take part in what's called more like a low impact dye process. So mm-hmm. they use as natural as possible. And then the levels of synthetics they use are what they call low impact. They're not highly toxic chemicals. So then you can get some of those colors to hold longer and look better. So I've been connecting with some various chemists to do all my dyeing, which is good. But we always use a low impact and we'll be using more herbal dye in the future.
Well, that's cool. That's too bad that it's expensive. But all that is like really, it's still not, oh, it's safe and it's still, you know, a little bit kind of maybe semi-dodgy. It's still like really high quality, 100%. It's not like dangerous for you or anything like that.
No, it's actually, according to, they call it OECO Tech Standard 100. It's an independent testing and certification system for textile raw materials all the way around. And they've classified low impact dye method as eco-friendly. So there's a lot of chemists in America that know this process. And there's no carcinogenic chemicals, heavy metals, or the toxic mordants. The mordants is what makes the colors stick to the
mm-hmm,
fabric.
And right.
So no silicone or formaldehyde. So we don't have that.
Well,
stuff.
You know, things change over time. I don't understand this obsession with it. Always has to like remain the same. I mean, that's when you like get things like Twinkies, which is just like chemicals and foam. You know, it's like every item is exactly the same. It will last and look exactly the same through over time. You know, it's ridiculous. Things are alive and they change. And I kind of like that. I like most of the colors that you've been able to achieve. I don't think any of them look you know, not strong or solid enough
mm-hmm.
or anything like that.
That's right.
You know,
so. And I happen to like dark colors. That's another thing.
Which is most difficult, right?
Yeah, which is more difficult. But yeah. I think that when I looked around a lot of the other organic places, it's kind of more hippy dippy, kind of like a sackcloth beige.
Right.
And that's just not me.
No. They do that. You do your thing. So how do you wash and you know, all these clothes and dry them and all that stuff?
Well, people think that usually when you get your clothes, you can just wash out the chemicals. That's completely untrue. It's still going to be in your clothes, but also don't forget it's going to wash out into the waterway, and all that toxic water is going to come back to you. So I use, actually, and I encourage people washing our clothes to use plant-based detergents without the toxic chemicals or synthetic scents. In America, we can get this stuff really easily. I like a company, I think it's called Green Shield Organics, and it's organic laundry detergent. There's nothing toxic in it, and it works so good. The other thing is you don't want to use these dryer sheets because they're actually releasing, there's been studies done, 25 volatile compounds coming out of the dryer vents. You know, we live nearby, there's a laundromat, and we go outside and we can smell the dryer sheets, and it makes you itch and just cough, and it's
horrible.
Like
yeah.
you don't want to use that Eesh. Stuff. Also, there's the chemical contamination of our water from laundry detergent is actually a big thing. And like I said, also it's manifesting in the gender bending effects in wildlife. So you really have to do your research to find a truly non-toxic laundry detergent. Also, if you're going to use dry cleaning, and I say non-toxic dry cleaning, you want someone who doesn't use a chemical called PERC for short. 80% of the dry cleaners are using this in the U.S. And despite what the name suggests, dry cleaning is not actually a dry process. It is a little bit wet. But mm-hmm. PERC is a liquid chemical used for industrial degreasing and deodorizing. So mm-hmm. I know when I used to dry clean with those PERC companies, I'd be itchy and wouldn't feel good. My clothes was stiff. Like,
mm-hmm.
you don't want that. So you can find a dry cleaner. There are some, I think, Good Earth and some others across America. Some people use CO2 cleaning, silicone cleaning or wet cleaning or enzyme-based cleaning. And then Germany is actually getting ready to release something. Of course, Germany's cutting edge on all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the
yeah.
K4 system. It's completely non-toxic, and it's going to revolutionize the dry cleaning industry. So hopefully that's going to come into more European countries here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Yep, important stuff people don't think about because everything adds up. Is there anything else you want to say about the eco scene and what they're up to?
Yeah, I want to, you know, people ask what's the difference between eco-friendly, green, and sustainable. None of these things mean organic, and it doesn't mean chemical-free. Okay? I went through the government literature looking for definitions, but eco-friendly, green, sustainable. They're all open to interpretation. I mean, now there is close to, I think, 500 third-party certifications, though, you can get to meet certain standards if you want to market and use these terms. And by the way, Germany was the first to come up with an eco-label, the whole idea of an eco-label. Green usually means it's a small aspect of a product, like it's made with a recycled content, okay? But I find companies saying they're green or eco-friendly because they're just using low-energy light bulbs or less water, or they're recycling in the office, like really shallow stuff. All the while, they're still using all these chemicals in their products. So it's like there's a slew of these fake green companies, and usually the thing that they say is green is it's just a tiny portion of the product. I mean, recycled toilet paper is touted as green. And like we talked about, it's tainted with BPA. So you're literally wiping your genitals with the gender-bending chemicals, and that's nice. Green. That's green, folks.
Yeah.
And then sustainable should mean, is it sustainable for the entire life cycle of a product, for all the stages involved? What's the impact everywhere, every person it's met? But now, GMOs are called sustainable.
Of course, yeah.
So, also recycled polyester is being called green, which is a load of crap. They say this because we're reusing plastic bottles, because, you know, that's where recycled polyester comes from, the plastic bottles. So how about making non-toxic bio containers instead of using these plastic bottles at all is what I want to know. But the process of, you know, making recycled polyester is actually downcycling, and it requires the addition of virgin plastics and a lot of carcinogenic chemicals in the process. So recycled polyester is anything but green, so it drives me nuts when I hear people saying it. And I hate when organic companies are blending with this stuff because it's toxic all around. There's nothing green about it. I remember I accidentally bought something that had recycled polyester in it, and I immediately was itchy and had a reaction. It was like wearing you're wearing plastic, basically.
Well, you know, they're just trying to jump on the bandwagon here, and of course that's also one of the reasons why some people who look into it then they call the whole thing fake, right? The whole thing is just a fraud. It's not true. It's not right. But again, there is a difference here between what they do and push as the green, you know, garbage nonsense and the green economy and all that stuff, versus actually doing it in. Well, you don't even have to call it green. You can just call it natural or like non-toxic, like if you've
exactly.
done
Exactly. That's why I want to have a level of transparency, because a lot of these other companies, when you start digging, you find that their green claims are really just utter bogus, you know, or it just applies to very small recycled content in their packaging or something stupid like that. So you just have to do some research, because there are genuinely good companies out there that
do
want to do things right. So don't let the few fake green companies taint your whole idea of organic. I see that happen a lot.
Right, exactly.
Don't let that happen.
No, of course not.
I want to say, according to some, why they think that using recycled polyester is green is because they think, oh, well, it's going to keep the PET out of the landfill. But the fact is that polyester, you can't recycle this indefinitely. It's going to end up in the landfill anyway. There's only so much you can downcycle it.
Mm-hmm.
So these toxins are going to be leaching into the soil. You know, and like I said, the PET bottle is going to be there for about 200 years, they say.
Yeah, it's no good. No good at all. Yeah, and of course, support, you know, these small local. They can be international for all we care these days. They're online. They can reach most corners of the entire world. And it's time that people start supporting those companies, and especially, you know, what you've done here, and just basically also doing it for themselves, you know, eliminating these things which will lead to you having, you know, health ailments, and basically later down the line, maybe you reach a fatal position, basically, because you haven't dealt with this stuff in time. So, you know, there needs to be a certain measure of, like, scaring people into, like, complying here, because it's for real. This stuff is just not, like, a joke. We are so... it's so ubiquitous in everything that we are around all the time, that all this stuff matters. It accumulates, and eventually, if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you.
Exactly. So we need to take it seriously. I mean, what's wrong with caring about the environment? What's wrong with caring about pollution and how we're harming animals and our bodies? And really, I'm surprised at the lack of research in this area, with all the billions going into, you know, like I said, cancer research and looking into climate change and stuff. No one is addressing these chemicals, because the chemical lobby is absolutely powerful,
mm-hmm.
and they're just blocking that at every turn. But this is what's making us sick, folks. Look at all the – I talked to a lot of people that have had cancer. Most of these people have ate crappy food their whole life. They've used all these you know, chemical-ridden products, all these things add up and they will make you sick. So it's very important to dump all that stuff out. I mean, this is 2015. Now we have so many great organic companies rising up, so many good alternatives on the web. So easy to find all this stuff in the West. So, and it's not much more money, but you're talking about your health here. Wouldn't you rather pay an extra $1 or $2 for something and avoid those medical bills later? I mean, I noticed when I switched all my products out too, I felt younger, you know?
Right.
Felt younger.
Feel better.
Look better. So it's
yeah.
worth it.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about obviously the site and all that stuff and the pieces that you have. But you have for people who want to find out more. I mean, I guess this is fairly in depth in itself. But you've done some great videos as well. Got some help there. Now they're really good. You wrote these. They're very well researched. They're quick and fast. They kind of boil down some of the things that we've been talking about so far of what synthetics are and all that kind of stuff. Just tell us about those videos that you made.
Sure. Well, the website's lanaslama.com, and I have a news section where I've embedded some videos from my YouTube channel, which is also just Lana's Llama. I'm going to be doing a lot more videos, but I talk about, there's a welcome video, then I also get more into detail about natural fibers and synthetics and more about our philosophy and why these things are important. So please go watch those on YouTube.
What about the name, Lana's Llama? Tell us about that.
When I was 15, I took a trip to Peru, and there was llamas all over Machu Picchu, and I just immediately just loved them and responded to them. I don't know. Maybe it's some old ancient thing or ancient connection with llamas there that I'm not aware of. You know, they're North American animals, and then they, after the Ice Age, you know, they basically went down to South America. But where I grew up in Oregon, there's more llamas there than anywhere else in the country. So
right.
I spent a lot of time with llamas. They always cheer me up. They always make me feel good. and the thing about them is they're known for their fiber. They're an ancient animal that has a very good temperament. They've been used for so many things. They're considered a sacred animal, and their hair is special. Of course, they're related to the alpaca. So, and I am going to be making more alpaca and llama sweaters, of course, in the future.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. That's coming. Yeah, it's a really nice, soft fabric. The few times I've felt it. Well, I have a shirt, I think, of it. So it's really nice. But, well, tell us about some of the pieces that you have. I mean, I can just kind of testify to the shirts and the pants that you have available for guys. I mean, they are super nice. I mean, the shirts are really nice and soft, and but they're not, you know, kind of like hippie loose and a bad fit or anything like that. They look really, really classy. They're nice and tight, and they fit, you know, super comfortable on you. And the pants, I mean, those probably some of the nicest I've worn. I think that wool is just so nice, and now when it's getting into autumn and winter for us up in the northern hemisphere, in a way, they're really, really cool. I really like those pants. So that's
they're
just the guys.
They're heavy too.
They're heavy.
Like 3 pounds or something.
They're thick.
Pounds.
You know, exactly. I mean, now for winter, that's just perfect. You might not even have to wear anything else underneath. You know, but you know, that's some of the guys' stuff. You can tell us more about those as well. But you know, tell us about the pieces that you have.
Sure. Yeah. Like I said earlier, I mentioned the organic suiting wool. Now, if everyone knows what suiting wool is, that's the good stuff. When you want to dress up and look nice, suiting wool. Well, I actually got a fabric, which is a really cool story, from a guy in Maine. He was an organic farmer, and he also specialized in making certain fabrics. And he was trying to get organic wool into the market, suiting wool, and he couldn't get market acceptance, which is absolutely horrible. How is that even possible? So I connected with him through some other interesting connections, and I picked up the remnants that he had of this batch of organic suiting wool. It's this absolutely incredible fabric, and it's not itchy. It's so comfortable. It's warm. I made a woman's dress with it, and I made two skirts with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also using hemp silk, so I have a hemp silk pencil skirt, and I also have a blouse, and then a black organic poplin blouse, which is every woman needs a classic black poplin blouse. So something that women can wear to work. I also have a blazer, and then I'm working on a lot more stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you have for guys too, like a jersey and a cotton jersey, organic one.
Like a long sleeve t-shirt, yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that one was made with organic cotton thread. Several of the pieces were made with organic cotton thread, made in Holland. So, you know, so the prices add up. So I'm able to actually offer pretty decent prices for everything that I've put into these pieces.
Well, you know, it's not bad for a first line or release, whatever you want to call it. It's like four pieces for the guys. And how many is it eight for women?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's some really nice stuff in there. So well done.
Well, thank you. So much more. And I wanted to say, too, people ask me about bamboo and tencel, and I forgot to bring that up, but another green-haled fabric is bamboo because it also can grow hardly without any intervention at all, which is great. But the process of turning the bamboo into fabric requires the use of caustic soda and some other really bad chemicals to break it down. So then it,
really?
It becomes a semi-synthetic fabric. It's basically rayon. Well, I actually met a guy, and I saved his email, who said, I invented a process that's truly, truly organic without the caustic soda. But he also said, I couldn't get market acceptance. I saved the email. I was like, how is this possible? So until I can know what his process is, I won't be using bamboo or tencel. Tencel's another one. It's being made in Germany right now. It's coming from beech trees, I think, you know, cellulose from beech trees. But they're using nanoparticles in it.
That's a whole different monster.
And they say it's because it can prevent the growth of bacteria because the nanoparticles are absorbing moisture, which is absolutely insane, you know?
Wow.
So I am not using any nanoparticles in my clothing.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I got to keep that out. God, there's so many weird things that's coming with the new technology and nano scale and all that stuff. But we're going to obviously continue to talk more in the second hour. There's many more things I want to ask you about, both related to this field and some other stuff as well. But, you know, some kind of, health tips, basically. You've gotten to know some really good stuff over the years of trying things out yourself. And I wanted to ask you more about those. But basically, we want to urge people to go to the website, lanaslama.com. And I think you have a coupon code you wanted to give to our audience as well, as a kind of a give something back to them for being listeners to us and listening over the years and all that. So, tell us.
That's right. If you go through the checkout and just enter in Red Ice in the coupon code box, it'll give you 25% off as a thank you for supporting us throughout
the
years.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, so that's just REDICE, no spaces or anything like that?
That's correct.
Red Ice. Okay, awesome. I know that there's a lot of people out there who really appreciate all the work that you do, and they obviously can really help you out here as well to get more products into the store and get much more items like the underwear, like the t-shirts, like all those kind of, if you will, smaller items that they will benefit greatly from health-wise as well. So definitely, go there and check out the items that's available. The website looks really good too, by the way. You did a great job in pulling all that together. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and it would be great if people help support, and exactly, I want to do so many more items. I have so many more plans, and I want to be able to bring a good product and also make it affordable and made with good materials, made in the USA, because I think there's a need for that. So, got big plans.
All right, very good. LanasLama.com, and last word here, it really helps us, and of course, it's a kind of positive improvement for you as well, health-wise, and get rid of the estrogen-inducing clothing that simply is volatile and bad for you in clothing. So go to the website, check it out. But we'll continue with the second hour. Much more coming up, folks. Stay with us, Lana. We'll be right back with more. We have another second hour coming up with Lana that you shouldn't miss. We're going to crack open the discussion a bit and get into some of the things related to the origins of environmentalism. You know, thinking about nature as an extension to ourselves. And it's not what you think. We'll also discuss how the concept of caring for the land, for the environment, is something tied in with some of our oldest traditions and something that in these days is actually discouraged, strangely enough. And we'll talk about why. And why some of the politicians are doing what they're doing in Europe right now. You know, being close to nature and part of the soil is key in producing men and women of quality, which is something not wanted in these times. We'll extend the conversation talking about how to put the fash back in fashion as well. You know, it's not only textile, but also all the products used, especially by women, but increasingly by, you know, the metrosexual men and all that, that adds to the toxic load, basically. But we'll go over what you would want to swap out and some of the things that you definitely would want to avoid, especially for fertility, which is an increasingly important question. Later, we'll do a countdown of some of her highly recommended supplements, herbs, and other, well, tricks, if that's the right word for it, that, you know, Lana has picked up over the years being into these kinds of topics. We'll share with you some recommendations about some of the things that you surely will find beneficial to get some energy and strength back, but also simply to feel better. Well, we'll proceed at redeyesmembers.com. Go there to sign up for a membership and get full access to this show and all our previous ones. Please tune in to the second hours. We have tons of shows for you waiting in the archives. We have all the information on the website. It's quick and easy. And hey, again, you know, don't forget to check out the store as well, lanaslama.com, and also with the coupon code REDICE, you get a quarter off the price, which is, well, that's an awesome deal for you. So do take advantage of it, and don't let that go to waste. All right, well, we'll talk to you after a short break. Thank you so much for listening.